More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, making change. What change needs to happen to help you have a more joyful life and more fulfilling relationships? Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Monday to you. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, making change. What change needs to happen to help you have a more joyful life and more fulfilling relationships? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We'll help you make those changes.
It can be scary to make change. It can feel like you don't have any control sometimes when you want to make changes. And sometimes you just feel like you don't even know where to start. But whether those are internal changes inside of you, they're changes about your environment and what's going on in your home life, they're relationship changes, they're mental health changes that you want to make so that you feel better, more positive, more effective in your life. Whatever those changes are, even those spiritual changes where you want to feel closer to God, but you don't know how to make it happen, we're here to help you today.
And, you know, the fact is, even though all those different types of changes that Lisa just mentioned are different, making change effectively follows some simple steps that, if you get them right, make making any change easier and more effective. We want to help you find those steps and start making those changes in your life. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, feel free to shoot us your questions via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two. But we love hearing your voice and being able to ask those follow-up questions. So if you're listening live, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about the changes you want to make in your life or relationships.
So what changes would you like to see happen that would help you have a more joyful life or experience more fulfilling relationships? If you could wake up tomorrow and have one thing be different in your life or relationships, what would it be? Let us help you take steps toward getting those results today so that you can be that much closer to living the more satisfying, grace-filled, abundant life that God wants for you.
877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're asking, what is the theology of the body and how can it help me make change? Well, you've come to the right place. When St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections that showed us how we could live a more abundant life and have healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation, and especially God's design of our bodies.
You know, sometimes when we get caught up in certain challenges in our life or our relationships, it can seem like nothing is ever going to change. But the theology of the body reminds us that when we look at our life, what we see isn't what we get. At the beginning of time, God created us to live abundant, intimate, joyful, healthy, holy lives. Although sin entered the world and frustrated that plan, God is not defeated. Every day, through His grace, God is helping us rebuild the remarkable grace-filled lives He created us to live. And of course, that doesn't happen on its own. When we experience difficulties in making changes in our life or our relationships, the first thing we need to do is to bring that situation to God without ceasing. Every day, we have to ask God to teach us how He wants us to respond to the challenge that we're facing, step by step. When responding to a frustrating situation, no matter how long we've been working on it, we have to cultivate the mindset that we don't know anything, especially when we think we do. Instead, we need to ask God to teach us as if we were children who were experiencing the situation for the very first time. That's the poverty of spirit that allows God to lead us to the changes He wants to make in our lives.
Second, after we've asked God to teach us how to respond to the situation in a way He wants us to move, we need to get to work. You know, as we continue to pray that, pray as if we need to be taught from the ground up how to respond to each step of the problem we're trying to solve, we need to consistently ask ourselves, how could I glorify God in this moment? You know, how would I work for the ultimate good of the person in front of me? What would it mean for me to be my best self in this moment, especially when my plans are being frustrated? You know, like a toddler learning to walk. When we adopt this approach, we become God's little children, reaching out for His hand and asking Him to teach us how to live the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled lives and relationships we were created for. So call up and share today on our show titled Making Change, what change needs to happen to help you have a more joyful life and more fulfilling relationships. 877-573-7825. If you could wake up tomorrow and have one thing be different in your life or relationships, what do you wish it would be? We want to help you take the steps toward getting those results today so that you can be that much closer to living the more satisfying, grace-filled, abundant life God wants for you. And again, that phone number, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Call up and share the changes you'd like to see in your life or relationships, and let's set you on the road to making and keeping those changes. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to You all those changes we'd like to see happening in our life or relationships, especially those changes that would make a real difference in leading a happier, healthier, holier life and having happier, healthier, holier relationships. Sometimes, Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't know what we're allowed to even consider the possibility of changing, and we don't know where to start. And other times, we've been working hard to make a change in our own life or our relationships, and we seem frustrated, and it seems like things aren't going to change. Help us in those situations to know what it is that You would have us do, so that in all things we can work for Your good, we can work for the good of those involved, and help us be our best selves as well as we work to make the changes that enable us to live the life that You call us to. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
please pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Making Change. What changes need to happen to help you have a more joyful life and more fulfilling relationships? 877-573-7825. If you could wake up tomorrow and have just one thing be different in your life or relationships, what would you want it to be? We want to help you take steps toward getting those results today, so that you can be that much closer to living the more satisfying, grace-filled, abundant life God wants for you. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. And again, if you're listening to the More to Life podcast, shoot us an email with your questions. The address is questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Well, Greg, Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia, did exactly that. She said, I want to change the way my husband relates to me and the children. He just sits and watches TV most of the time when he's home. He has a good job and does well at it, but when he's home, he just doesn't connect with me or the kids, nor does he really help around the house except to cut the grass. But after I get the kids to sleep, they are 8, 6, 4, and 2, he expects that we'll be romantically close. I feel alone and exhausted and really need to have this change, but I have no idea where to begin. And that's Mary listening in Virginia.
All right, Mary, thanks so much for the question. Yeah, so the most important thing here is really communicating directly with him what it is that you want or expect, so that it's not just, because a lot of times what happens when we're trying to make a change is we wait until we're irritated about the thing to complain about it, instead of sitting down ahead of time and saying, look, honey, I really would like to change how we handle our evenings or how we work together or, you know, how we do whatever. Right, and you're waiting for a time where you're not irritated about it, but you're just bringing it up in a proactive way to try to problem solve it together. Hopefully, and he'd be receptive to that. And at that point, you're able to say, look, I really need us to be better partners. It's coming up with ways for us to work and play and talk and pray together with the kids. And those four areas specifically, you know, how can we work better together? How can we play together a couple of times a week? How could we make sure that we're talking with each other and the kids? How are we make sure that we're having a vibrant prayer life together as a couple and as a family? And, you know, by doing that at a time where you can not just complain about it, but we can actually make a plan for the week and create some rituals, you know, to get out your schedules and say, when are we going to do this and what will we do? So you're actually coming up with a concrete plan on what that would look like. Now, if you find that you're trying to do that and your husband is still resistant or reluctant to do those things, then you might have a deeper issue of struggling with respect in the relationship, or what the marriage researcher John Gottman calls a struggle to accept influence. You know, in happy marriages, husbands and wives are very good at accepting influence from each other. There's a presumption there that I should be willing to try to do the things that my wife needs from me or my husband needs from me. And research tends to show that women are better at accepting influence in marriage than men are. You may have one of those, but you don't know that for sure until you, instead of just complaining about it when you're irritated, actually approach it in this problem-solving way that I'm suggesting. Because the fact is, a lot of guys aren't raised in households where they learn how to lead family life or
to do
participate
anything. Honestly, I know so many men whose moms were such powerhouses that they were just kind of taught to just sit there and not get in the way of their mom making everything work in the household. And especially when these men are presented with children in their lives, they really, especially young children, they don't know how to relate to them, take care of them, or even have fun with them until they're old enough for that child to like do the sports that the husband likes or have a conversation that the husband can participate in. So if he's just dealing with a total lack of skill set, then really approaching him with what Greg is saying in a calm way when you two are alone. So use that time that, you know, he just thinks you're going to be romantically close to each other to say, no, tonight we're really going to have a conversation about what I need and what we need to be doing as a family at this point in our children's lives.
But again, if you find that more proactive approach isn't bearing any more fruit, then it's time to seek some help for the relationship, because you could be dealing with either that struggle to accept influence that I was just talking about, or even something more serious where your husband may be depressed and disengaged from kind of life those evenings. So start with what we suggested here on the call. And if there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn how we can kind of coach you through those next steps. And by the way, even if your husband wouldn't be willing to join initially in those meetings, there's a lot that we can do to teach you how to have a more grace-filled, godly, satisfying relationship, even if you're working on it on your own initially. So don't hesitate to reach out, even if he's kind of putting up some resistance to doing some more work that way. All right, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, again, reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. 877-573-7825. We're talking today about making change. And we're asking you to reflect a little bit on this idea of if you could wake up tomorrow and have one thing be different in your life or relationships that would make a difference, you know, that would really help you feel more joyful, more fulfilled, more satisfied in either your life or relationships, what would that thing be? You know, making good change begins with having an idea of what you really want to have come out of a situation, not just what you don't want. You know, because this is something that I actually deal with my clients a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, so often, right, we get discouraged, we feel down about something that's going on in our lives, and we just feel so depleted by it that we know what we don't want, but we have no idea what we really do.
Yeah, and so people will come to pastoral counseling, for example, and they'll say to me, you know, I just want this to stop, or I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. The problem, of course, is if I don't know what I want to do instead, or not just what I want to stop, but what do I want to start, you know, what would the change actually look like, it's very hard to work toward any kind of a real positive change. So one of the first steps in dealing more effectively with change is being clear about what you want to have come out of the situation. You know, not just what don't you want, but what do you want. And, you know, a classic example of this is if you imagine going to a restaurant, right, and the waiter came to the table and said, so, what would you like to order? And you said, well, I don't want the burger, right? And it's like, okay, well, and the waiter said, well, okay, well, what do you want? And you said, well, I don't think I want the pasta. All right, well, what do you want? And you just kind of went through the menu telling the server one thing after another that you don't want. It's not getting you your meal, right? But unfortunately, that's the way a lot of us...
It's not getting you your meal, and you're going to have a very grumpy person who just doesn't want to deal with you anymore.
Well, right, but that's how a lot of us approach change. You know, we'll say, well, yeah. I don't want this, and I know I don't want that, and I really wish that would stop. But we don't say what we do want. And so that's kind of the first step in making positive change. There are other similar steps, no matter what kind of change you want to make, whether it's a change in your personal life, your spiritual life, your emotional life, or your relational life. We want to help you identify those steps that you can take to start making real change. So give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Tell us what changes you'd like to see happen that would help you have a more joyful life or experience more fulfilling relationships. Again, the number 877-573-7825. When we come back from break, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores-Popchak. He'll be sharing some insights from us. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's going to talk about what he does when he encounters a client who feels stuck and isn't sure what steps to take next to make change. So let's talk about that when More to Life continues, as well as taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about the changes you'd like to see in your life or relationships. We'll be back right after this.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Making Change. As we talk about those changes you'd like to see happen in your life or relationships to help you lead a more joyful life and have more fulfilling relationships, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, and he's also a published author and illustrator and expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I appreciate being here.
So, when you're working with a client, and they're saying to you, you know, look, I feel like I've tried everything and nothing's changing and I'm just so frustrated, where do you suggest that they start?
Well, you know, I think everyone can kind of relate to the experience of being too close to a problem to be effective at it. And one of the outcomes that is pretty common with when we are too close to a problem is that we can start to kind of combine in our heads what we want with what we think we'd get if we got what we want. And that's a very silly way of putting it, but let me break it down for a second. So let's imagine for a second that maybe you have a tough relationship with your spouse and they are always, you know, criticizing you, right? A lot of people that I talk to will sometimes get in the long-standing habit of becoming very obsequious, of doing everything they can do to possibly please that spouse or to get ahead of that spouse's criticism, right? And they say, I just want to make my spouse happy. That's what they tell me. I just want to make my spouse happy. But that's not what they want, actually, right? What they want is for their spouse to stop criticizing them. What they think they have to get first in order to get what they want is to make their spouse happy. Or for another example, let's say, you know, I have trouble with a friend or with some extended family member who never seems to accept me, right? And I say, wow, I really want this person to accept me, and no matter what I do, they just don't accept me, right? Well, do you really want them to accept you? Or do you just want the feeling of liking yourself that you believe would come if you could just get this impossible standard person to finally accept you? This happens
all
the time.
These are very interesting questions that are underneath that initial feeling of what we want to change. So once we get to that question, what do we do?
Well, I think figuring out how to ask the question is really the first most important step. It's I want to actually take a deep breath. If I'm feeling that frustration, if I'm feeling that tension, right, that comes from, I've worked on this for a million years and nothing seems to be shifting with those people. That's not a sign that I'm doing a bad job. That's not a sign that I'm an idiot, right? Because I'm not an idiot. If I were addressing the problem correctly, I would have fixed it by now, right? So that means that if it's not being fixed, it means I'm attacking the wrong problem, right? And if you're listening right now and if you've been experiencing that frustration with trying to solve this problem forever and it hasn't been solved, I'm telling you from the heart of God, you're not dumb. If you were accurately trying to solve the right problem, it would be solved by now. So that means that if it's not, that means you've been addressing the wrong problem. And I need to step back and I need to ask myself, okay, I keep telling myself I want this thing. What would I get from getting that thing? Oh, I want to find my spouse. I want to find my spouse. Well, what would I be able to say about me, or what would I get if I found my spouse? Oh, I want that promotion. Well, what would I be able to say about me, or what would I get if I got that promotion? Oh, I want my spouse to be kinder to me. What would I get? What would I be able to say about me if I were able to get that thing? Asking myself that "what would I if" question will help me zero in on what the problem actually is. And that allows me to kind of radically step back and reevaluate and go, okay, are there more direct paths to that, right? Are there more direct, to use my previous analogies, are there more direct paths to get my spouse to be more respectful to me other than just obsequiously trying to predict what they'd be frustrated about? Are there other ways to find that self-love that I want other than just trying to impress this impossible friend or family member, right?
Well, what you're really getting at is that we often confuse what we want with how we're trying to get it. And what I think you're suggesting really is by being able to see, you know, what thing we really want, then we're able to identify multiple ways to be able to achieve that end instead of being stuck on this one thing that we have to do to get that end met. This opens up some new possibilities for us. So I really appreciate you sharing these insights with us, Jacob. And folks, if you'd like to learn more about this approach to problem solving and finding grace-filled ways to overcome the challenges in your life, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Great insights. And we are taking your calls, listeners, about making change today on More to Life. Think about it this way. If you could wake up tomorrow and have one thing be different in your life or relationships, what would it be? We want to help you take those steps toward getting those results today so you can be that much closer to living the more satisfying, grace-filled, abundant life that God wants for you. Give us a call. Again, the number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Making change is never easy. Especially when we've been trying really hard to make some change in our personal life, our spiritual life, our emotional life, or even our relationships, because, of course, that involves other people changing as well. But the good news is, in any change that we're trying to make, there are steps that help make that change easier, clearer. We were just talking about some of them with Jacob. When we come back, we'll continue unpacking more tips for approaching any change you'd like to make in a more effective way, identifying the goal and identifying the steps to help you get there so that you can lead that more abundant life God is asking and wanting you to live. Again, the number is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls about making change when we come back after the break.
What will eternal happiness, beatitude, be like? St. Augustine has a pleasant description. There we shall rest and see, we shall see and love, we shall love and praise, what will be at the end without end. For what other end do we have, if not to reach the kingdom which has no end? The Catechism tells us, God put us in the world to know, to love, and to serve Him, and be with Him forever in heaven. The Beatitudes present us with clear moral choices. We are invited to avoid evil, to purify our hearts of evil, and to love God above all earthly things, none of which can bring lasting happiness. Lasting happiness can be found only in God, who is the source of every good and all love. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. And our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Do you feel held back by your inner critic? That little voice whispering, I can't, or I'm not good enough. The spiritual master and doctor of the church, St. Ignatius of Loyola, realized that these disheartening thoughts, which he called desolations, are not from God. especially when they tempt us from becoming who God wants us to be. Consolations, on the other hand, come from the Holy Spirit. These positive thoughts encourage us to trust in God's plan for us. If we want to follow God's plan, we need to quell that inner critic and listen instead to the consoling voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's a practice that can help. First, every day, write down your successes. Did you make someone smile? Did you exercise despite feeling low? Write it down. Next, write down the strengths or virtues behind those successes. The kindness that brought out that smile, for instance, or the persistence that helped you exercise. Finally, turn your virtues into daily I am statements. I am kind, or I am persistent. Doing so will remind you that your identity flows from the gifts of God's grace, not that inner critic. For one-on-one support on your spiritual journey, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about making change. What changes need to happen to help you lead a more joyful life and have more fulfilling relationships? If you could wake up tomorrow and have one thing be different in your life or relationships, what would it be? Let's focus on that change that needs to happen to help you have a more abundant life and enjoy more satisfying, grace-filled, abundant relationships. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Marnie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Carolina on Sirius XM 130.
Marnie, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Good morning. I have a husband that I have called for 25 years a work in progress.
Well, aren't we all?
Very self-centered. Yes, we are. I am too. I don't deny that. He is very self-centered and very selfish, and he's aware of those traits. He will have long conversations as long as it's about him or his interests. So we were on our way to Florida and having a long conversation, and I said, would you like to improve our relationship? And he said, absolutely. And I said, well, if you could take an interest in my interest, so that we could talk about those things, that would be very helpful. And he said, I can do that, but nothing has changed.
Tell me more about that, Marty. When you say nothing has changed, what would change? How would you know if you were getting what you were looking for here?
I do the funeral ministry at our church. It would be nice if he would just say, how did it go? How did you feel through it? How did the family do? Just any kind of interest. And
can I ask what happens if when you come home? Like, does he just ignore you? Do you try to share with him at all? Or what happens?
He will once in a while say, how'd it go? But the problem is, I know he's really not listening to the answer. It's as though he's trying to fulfill what he said, but he's still really not interested. And I know that about him, and I know his personality, and we've been through so much. He was a sex and pornography addict and went to counseling for that for years, and he's recovering as well and doing very well. So we've been through a lot and have done very well through those things. But to give you an example, I never hid my drinking. I was an at-home drinker and never hid that. And I mean, from noon on, I pounded him down. And he's with me all day. And when I finally said to him, "You know I'm an alcoholic, don't you?" And he said, "No." I said, "How could you not know when you've been watching me pound him down for years and live in the same house with me? You must have had some idea." And he said, "Well, I thought you knew what you were doing." So, okay. He was totally clueless.
Are you in recovery now too then, or can, where's,
oh,
that,
yes.
Where's that?
Yes, yeah. I am. Mm-hmm. I am. I've been 15 months sober.
God bless you.
Okay, so that's wonderful. So, I mean, you guys have both been through a lot. So let me offer some initial thoughts on where you can get started with this, and then I'll offer some additional resources to kind of build on this. There's often, you know, so what it sounds to me, okay, is that both of you have come from backgrounds where you don't have a clear idea of how to get what you want, right? In his case, you know, you're kind of saying how self-centered he is. A lot of what you were describing, you know, and the reason I'm making this distinction, okay, if you said to him on that trip down to Florida, "Hey, honey, you know, it would really mean a lot to me if, you know, you would take an interest in the things I'm interested in," and he said to you, "Ah, you know, those are your things. I don't really care about that stuff. You can do whatever you want, but just leave me out of it." That would be a different thing, right? But what he said was, "Yeah, okay." What that says to me is that he wants to be interested, but he doesn't know how. That he was raised in a household where it was better for him to just keep his head down and stay out of the way, and trust that that his parents, you know, were going to somehow handle things. But if he piped up for whatever reason, he was going to get in trouble or things weren't going to go well. I realize that that's reaching, but I see this personality type in our pastoral counseling practice, and 9 times out of 10, that's where it comes from. You know, you, on the other hand, you know, you have been frustrated for a lot of years, and you've been, I'm glad you're in recovery now for 15 months. That's fantastic. But for a lot of years, you just felt like you had to kind of put up with it, right? And try to find some other way to numb yourself and feel okay.
Feel better somehow for at least a little while.
So you're both in a place where you're trying to learn how to express your desires and needs proactively and really respond to those requests effectively. So what I'm going to say to you here is that there's, you know, when you're working with somebody who, like you were just describing, you say, "Hey, I would love it if you'd take an active interest in my interests." He doesn't necessarily know what that means. Now you might say, "Well, how is that even possible?" Based on what you described, it's absolutely possible, especially if he was a guy who was raised in a household where he just learned to kind of keep his head down and stay out of the way. So, you know, he wants to take, he's saying he wants to be interested in your interests, otherwise, you know, he wouldn't have said that, right? But he doesn't know what that means. So when you come home from, say, your funeral ministry, just saying to him, "Hey, honey, would it be okay if I talked about my experience today?" Now, you might say, "I don't want to have to do that. I want him to know." The problem is, you know, he doesn't know. And so you have to kind of meet him where he's at to get what you want out of the exchange. And starting by saying, when you come home, "Hey, would it be okay for us to talk about, you know, what happened today for me? I'd really love to be able to share this with you. I would really love to get your support or talk through this. Is that okay?" I think he'd probably say, "Well, yeah, that's fine." Now, if you feel in the middle of that conversation like he's not really listening, I don't want you to accuse him of anything. I want you to offer a clarifying question, which is, say, "Hey, honey, you know, I don't feel like you're really as engaged as I'd like you to be. You know, are you paying attention?" And he might say, "Yes." And you might say, "Well, you know, it would really mean a lot to me if you'd ask some questions about the experience, or ask me how I feel about it, or kind of talk me through." Because again, Marnie, I know you're thinking this is crazy, but dollars to donuts, I believe he does not know what to ask. He doesn't really know what
He's
it means to be engaged.
Just never been taught the skills.
And is that okay? Well, no. But there's no way through it except to realize this is where you guys are at, and this is what it's going to take for you to get what you want. You know, so often, one of the other reasons that we can't make change is we get caught up in the shoulds. And the shoulds are, we have these rules about the way things should be. You know, there should be world peace. And because there isn't world peace, I just get so frustrated that I don't do anything. You know, my husband should know what questions to ask to show that he cares about me. Well, yeah, he should, but he doesn't. So what are we going to do about it? You know, now, if you say, when you hear all this, well, this is just way too much for me to do. I feel resentful having to ask those questions. I feel frustrated. Well, then it's time to go back to couples counseling. You know, you said that he has worked a recovery program for his pornography addictions. You've worked a recovery program for your drinking. Now it's time to work together on how to have a healthy relationship, because this is really the first time in the last 15 months where you've been able to really relate to each other. Right? Because you've had more of a relationship with alcohol and he had more of a relationship with porn. And now that you've finally both given up your addictions, you can finally start learning how to relate to each other.
And just as you had to take one little step after another in a 12-step program, in counseling situations, to be able to be in a recovery process with this, you can learn little steps to get closer to each other as a couple, to learn how to have a conversation that is fruitful and meaningful and brings you closer together. Just because we weren't given skills by the people who raised us doesn't mean we can't break that chain and learn skills so that we can have the marriage and family life that we really, truly desire. The fact that you desire it, Marnie, the fact that you have this desire in your soul to have a close, connected, conversational life with your spouse is a gift from the Holy Spirit.
Well, and the fact that he said he's willing to, he
is
wants
also
to improve the
a gift
relationship.
From the Holy Spirit.
He just honestly doesn't know. And I don't think you know how to get your needs met either. That's why you return to alcohol, right? So you both need some help here. I'm going to suggest to you that the simplest way to begin learning about those skills is a book that I did called How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It takes a look at 8 research-based habits that happy couples practice in their relationship that any couple can learn. And I walk you step-by-step through those 8 habits, including a quiz that helps you identify which of those habits you're best at and which ones you need more improvement with. So check that out. That's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. If you feel like you need more personalized, faithful support, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our pastoral telecounseling practice so that we can help you and your husband get to where you want to go. But start with the suggestions that we've made, see how that goes, and then build from there with the other resources I've suggested. Marnie, thank you so much for the call. Congratulations on your work on recovery and your husband's work on his recovery as well. This is the time to start learning how to relate and get your needs met. And the resources I suggested will help do that. Again, that's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or if you'd like more personalized, faithful help, you can learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. Well, we are taking your calls today on More to Life about making change. What changes would you like to see happen that would help you have a more joyful life or experience more fulfilling relationships? If you could wake up tomorrow and have one thing be different in your life or relationships, what would it be? Give us a call and let us help you take those next steps toward getting the results that you're looking for today so you can be that much closer to living the more satisfying, grace-filled, abundant life God wants for you. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
You know, and this is something to really keep in mind, especially when we're feeling stuck or frustrated in our ability to make change, because very often we are leaning on our own understandings. You know, we're saying, okay, this is the way it has to happen, or this is the change that needs to happen. This is the way I need to make it. And if we've tried those things and it's not working, then we need to stop leaning on our own understandings and step back and just say to the Lord, teach me. I know that you would like to see this situation change. And how do you know? Because God does not like injustice, right? God does not like things that are not rightly ordered. God does not like things that are not peaceful, that are not joyful, that are not healthy or holy. And if you're experiencing something that is not any of those things, that is not what God wants for us. But how do we change it? Well, we don't know. Because we're stuck in that stuff too, right? So what do we need to do? We need to step back and say, look, Lord, I know that you would like to see this change somehow, but I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know where to start. Teach me. Help me to see this person, this situation, myself, through your eyes, and help me to see the ways to get from where I am to where you want me to be.
show me, teach me, walk me step by step through the changes I need to make this situation what you want it to be. And the more I can do that and give up on my ideas about what needs to change and how it needs to change, the more I can start making the changes that will lead to that more abundant, fulfilling life by leaning on God's understandings instead of mine. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Well, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 about the changes that you'd like to see happen that would enable you to lead a more joyful life and have more fulfilling relationships. Give us a call. Let's talk it out together. That's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions about making change in just a minute.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Making Change, as we talk about what it takes to make effective change in our life or relationships. If you could wake up tomorrow and have one thing be different in your life or relationships, what would it be? We want to help you take the steps toward getting those results today, or at least getting a little closer to those results today, so that you can be that much closer to living the more satisfying, grace-filled, abundant life God wants for you. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. And by the way, More to Life is just one way that EWTN supports you in living a more abundant life every day. Check out more about the Pro-Life Weekly email, Sunday 10 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. You can stay informed and educated with the latest news and truth on abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, and the culture of death. And we can send EWTN's Pro-Life Weekly directly to your email inbox each week. Visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe to get the Pro-Life Weekly email from EWTN. And we are taking your calls right now about making change today on our show, More to Life, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Diane, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia on the Quest.
Diane, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. I have a 48-year-old autistic son. I'm all by myself. My husband passed away 11 years ago. And he's in a living situation in the community through a waiver. And I am constantly having to follow up on all the support that he has, because they first of all don't do what they're supposed to do. Then they don't answer emails. They don't answer calls. So I'm constantly going around in circles trying to get the help that he needs. And if I brought him home and I passed away, which could happen, the state might not even have a place for him. The situation for the disabled is so bad. They don't have enough staff. And the church doesn't really help. So it's very frustrating. And I just love to wake up and know that everything was in place and the people were doing what they were supposed to do without me having to micromanage them all.
So is there, what specifically would you like to see happening that's not happening right now?
I would like to wake up and know that the support people that he has are doing the job that they are supposed to do.
Right, but what does that mean concretely? What specific job, give me an example of something you have to stay on top of them about doing.
Okay, the job coach supposed to take care of getting his schedule, and the facility supposed to help him with it. I constantly have to remind him to get his schedule, his work schedule, and to ask the staff to help him. And then also the doctor.
So let's start there for the sake of it, just because I want to walk through what does he happen. So and what happens if you don't follow up with that? How would that play out then?
He would have major behaviors, and then they would, you know, blame him. And the behavior support people aren't really helping either.
Okay. And are there other facilities that do a better job that you're aware of?
No, there are none. It's a dire situation. I went to the governor and to try and get, they get $10.83 an hour.
Yes, mm-hmm. We're aware of that.
So that's very painful, and it's obviously, you know, you care deeply for your son. You want to make sure that he's provided for. And the times when things go better, what's different then? When I say better, I mean when you have to stay on top. Well, yeah, but why? What's different about that time? Why do they step up then?
I have no idea.
So that's what you want to be looking at.
Is very bad.
That's what you want to look. I want you to start, and this is an idea. This is going to solve everything, right? Because you're right. This is a very it's a terrible system, and there are a lot of holes in it. But there are times when things go better, and what we want to look for, especially when we're trying to make a difficult change, is what are the differences that make the difference when things go better. So I want you to start tracking times when things do work. And I want you to pay attention to, you know, who's doing their job and what's going on around that time. And if you don't know, reach out to the person who did it, thank them, and say, what helped you be able to do this? Because I'm constantly on everybody to make this happen. And somehow it worked this time. Can we walk through what helped this happen and how we can replicate that so that I don't have to keep trying to figure this out every time this occurs? You're looking for the little changes that make the difference, and trying to identify what are the things that happen to make it possible. That's not always a guarantee that you'll be able to make that happen again and again and again, but it increases the likelihood that thing will happen more consistently by focusing on when it goes better, why is it going better, how can we replicate that and build a system that supports those differences that make the difference.
And look underneath the more obvious things. So if you say, well, whenever this particular caregiver is there, things go better, but I can't count on that caregiver staying at this pay rate or in this job for very long, talk to that caregiver that did it well and say, what is it that put it into place? Is there paperwork I need to be keeping for the other caregivers so that they can check off a list? Is there something about what my son is doing that's allowing you to be able to provide better for him? Really talk to those very competent people that do provide good care and ask them to help you break this down on a written list so that you can have something to work with and pass on to new caregivers or people who don't do their job as well.
And again, I realize that this isn't going to solve all the problems that you're dealing with because you're talking about a systemic thing.
Yeah.
But you know, by identifying it, but right now you're in this sort of understandably negative kind of mindset where you're saying, okay, well, I just have to get someone to do their job, and when things go better, they did their job.
And we understand how frustrating this is.
But you don't know what doing their job really means. Like, well, they get a schedule. Well, yes, but how did they get that to happen? That's what you need to understand better so that you can make sure other people are doing those things. And whenever you have that information, that gives you a little bit more control over the outcome. Diane, we've added you and your son to our More to Life prayer list. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. I hope that these suggestions will be helpful and at least give you some insights into the challenges you're facing that you hadn't thought of before. And we are talking with you, listeners, about making change. And if you are looking to make a change in your life or relationships, and you're looking for faithful ways to make those changes, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. We hope to see you there. And remember, get out there and celebrate the life God wants you to live, because with His grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.